idea by the night of the money?
Call to order the June 10th, 2019 meeting of the Common Council of the City of Washington. I would ask first for a moment of silence for our veterans and military personnel. Thank you. Mr. President, would you lead us in the pledge? Oh, shoot, that's right. Okay, we'll do that.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, first thing we need to do is have a couple of public hearings. It's important, if you're here, that there are two clipboards for the public hearings, and if you have not signed in on those, please do so. The first public hearing concerns an ordinance we're having a second reading on tonight concerning the rezoning of certain real estate on the east side of Washington off of Highway, off of East National Highway, rezoning it from suburban residential to C2. Is there anyone here to comment on that rezoning request? Any questions on it? Okay, hearing none, I'll declare public hearing number one adjourned. The second public hearing is on an ordinance for additional appropriations concerning paving funds. Anytime we do an additional appropriations not in the budget, we have to have a public hearing. Do I have any questions or comments on that? Okay, seeing none, I'll declare public hearing number two adjourned. Now we can go back to our regular agenda. Roll call, please. Kathy, could you have roll call, please?
Here. Councilman Brown?
Here.
Councilman Sidebottom?
Here.
Councilman Campbell?
Here.
Councilwoman Deborah?
Here.
Councilman Chambers?
Here.
Councilman Dahl?
Here.
Is that everybody? Everyone's here, so we have a quorum. First item on the agenda are the claim, approval of the minutes, May 28th of the regular meeting, and then the June 3rd executive session we had. Are there any corrections or additions to those? Not, I would entertain a motion to approve both of those minutes.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Councilman Sidebottom and a second by Councilman Dahl. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
I abstain. I wasn't at the June 3rd meeting.
Okay. Get that, Kathy? Okay, next item are the claims that were in your packet. Are there questions on those? Wow, everybody's so quiet tonight. Could I have a motion to refer those to the Board of Public Works for final disposition?
So moved.
Motion by Councilman Singleton and a second by Councilwoman Decker. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, any comments from the public on any matters for the council to hear about that's not on the agenda? Yes, sir. State your name and address, please, Jerry.
Jerry, you talking about being quiet, it's going to get loud in here now. Maybe. I don't think so, though. Anyway, it's amazing to know that people know what I'm here to complain about when they see me walk in that door. But I've complained about this issue for several years, and I know that Ed came up to me this evening and said that, you know, he was aware of the situation that we was in and how we were going to get this problem resolved and that they was going to get back with me. And the gentleman did come by here a few weeks ago and talk to me about the issue that I have concerning the stormwater. But let me fill you in of what's going on. Here, 3-4 years ago, was that right, Bobby? There was a catch basin put in across the road from us, from Bobby, and that catch basin sometimes doesn't accept all the water that is coming from that area. So it flows across the road along with the water that has come from Douglas Drive down, and it comes over onto Bobby's yard. And like he said, he's lived there 38 years, and in 38 years, there was never a time that he couldn't at least get out and mow that grass. Now, for the last 3 to 4 years, he has to weed eat it just like I do, because we can't get down in there and mow. It just lays, holds water. Now, that water, when it comes down, I'm not talking just a little narrow thing. I've got pictures here if anybody would like to see it. It's a stream that will go 2 to 3 feet deep, and it's 5 to 6 feet wide, and it washes down between Smith's and Bobby's, and it comes down and it meets the corner of my property, and then it goes into a ditch. However, across the road from me on the east side, that ditch needs to be dug out. The ground level is either higher or level from the property on the east side of my house, or the east side of the road, where that water washes across the road, and it makes, when it rains and rains heavy, it's usually about 3 feet deep, and it's 6-7 feet wide. And now it washes down and it meets where Bob's water coming off of Douglas goes into the creek back there. That creek is not big enough to handle the water that's coming down through there. So the water stays on top of the ditch and on top of my property. It's widening that creek out. It's widening it. And if you go look, you can see where some of the water has washed on top of the creek and into the woods, and it's taken the weeds and just knocked them sideways. So it's not draining properly. Now, Ed just came in tonight, and he told me that they was going to get back with us. That ditch, I don't know who lives in the house on the east side of Bobby on that road, but their drive is, their sewer pipe is covered and can't let the water come down. So it comes across the road naturally. It's got to go somewhere. Now, on the other side, but Mr. Darnell, his gutter comes down and the water comes out. That's normal. That's the way it should be. However, the ditch in front of Mr. Darnell's house, on this one end, oh, that's not that deep. And then down on the other end, where they did place a new sewer pipe to go to wash the water away, it's maybe this deep. But there's no flow down through there. So where's the water go? On the main. So what's going to have to happen is that ditches are going to be cleaned out on the east side of the road to let that water flow. There's going to have to be a catch basin that's going to have to be put in on Bob's property to catch that water coming off of Douglas Drive and taken to the creek. But that creek is going to have to be dug out because it can't handle all the water. And now, if you get down off of my property about 35 feet, that ditch just drops big time. So you're probably going to have to clean out 200 foot of creek to get that water to flow, or to put in a pipe to tie into that creek to let that water get off of him and off of me so that it'll flow freely. Now, the other thing, probably get tired hearing me talk, David. The other thing is, when you come down on the Mallard Drive, the water that's coming down Mallard Drive, it, what can go in the drain there by Mr. Darnold's does, but what can't comes across the road, and guess where it goes? It goes over on Mike Neff. Okay, so it goes down on Mike Neff, and the way that property is tapered, it curves back over, and guess where it goes? It goes underneath my shed out back. Now, I've already had to raise my shed from that high to that high. I'm still getting water in my shed. So I was speaking with Mike Neff, and I said, Mike, I'm going to go talk to the city about this. I'd like to put a catch basin in down there and see if they couldn't take some of that water that's coming off of Mallard Drive and put it down here. I said, they can put it on my property. I don't care as long as it goes in that drain and back to the back. And he said, that's fine. So my problem here tonight is, and I've been complaining about this for over 3 years, my yard is getting eroded on the west side of my property where the water comes together. I've got a bank that comes down. It's getting eroded on the north side of my property, and I'm going to have to haul dirt back in there now because it's the doggone salt, and I can't even mow it. I've got what? You go down there right now and look at it, and there's water standing on top of the land, on the ground. And it's mosquito infested, and I cannot take a lawnmower down there because it leaves tracks. So the only other thing I have to do is either let it grow, which I don't like, or take a weed eater and weed eat it, which I do. But until they started messing with this over here on Douglas Drive, and then the people over there on the side of the east side of my place, until they start messing with their drive, I never have water problems anywhere. I got them everywhere now. So anyway,
Ed,
he said he's going to do something about this. He said he's getting out in June, so we better get this done before June. It's June.
Well, number one, it's safe to say that the city has not done anything to cause that problem, but there are problems there. I see three main problems. The part that comes off of Douglas Drive goes down between Smith and Bobby. We did a project across Bobby with a catch basin, and I've never seen it go over the road. I've been out there some hard rains.
I got pictures of it.
Typically, it works great. It's designed for a 100-year storm, and we've had, as you know, a lot more storms. There's nothing we can do with that. As far as I'm concerned, that's satisfactory.
Can we put a catch basin in right off that, right where it drops to the Davis Drive?
Well,
pipe into that one across the road?
Well, that's one of the problems we got to address. But what we've done there doesn't affect that. That was a problem we knew about.
Yeah, I'm not saying it did, but that's the big problem.
It's going to be a long meeting when we get through this. So. The problem on the east side, when I did the plans over there on the east side, there we put those catch basins in the journals. On the plans it said where the water's coming across the road, that and we never got to do this. It's on the, you know, the plans to do it, to go up there to that driveway, open that man's culvert up, cut a slight swale to the south to Jerry Durnell's ditch, and that should handle that water. The third problem is the water coming off of Mallard Drive. I don't see any issue there that we could put a catch basin on your side, possibly build a mound that catches that water and tie it into the existing pipes.
You can do that. Is that what you're saying?
I say that can be done.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And the big thing is that ditch. I don't know anything about that ditch. We can take a look at it.
Well,
be sure that we haven't caused it. Homeowners might have caused it. But keep in mind, again, your ground is low back there. See, some water flows down.
But the thing is, that ditch up there that you say you're going to cut into.
Where it's filled in now.
Yeah, it's filled in.
We're going to cut that down and bring it into Durnell's ditch. We're not going to cut Durnall's ditch all the way down to Mountain Drive.
I'm not asking you to, but I'm asking you to dig it deep enough to where it won't come across the road.
And that's what...
When you get a heavy rain...
That's what my original plans called for. I told the guys last week to, you know, get over and get that done, so...
And then get back to him. Why is it that up there by, between Smith's and Kim, how's come there can't be a catch basin put in there to catch that water off of Douglas Drive?
There can be.
There can be?
But we'll have to tie it into the one across Bobby.
Well, that's all right.
And to catch that, we'll probably have to build a little curvy in there to catch that water.
Anything to keep it dry.
So that's all built.
All right.
And this is on private property?
Yes.
I don't think that really matters, does it, if you... What are you talking about, a ditch?
Going on downstream of you.
Okay, you mean the great big main drift ditch?
Yeah.
Yeah, that goes down, I think that flows down to the golf course, or something, meets into the golf course.
We outlet of our pipe across Bobby in that ditch.
Yeah.
And it has a little... But keep in mind, we've got a lot of rain.
It doesn't matter if it's a lot of rain or a little rain. That water will still come through.
A little rain's a problem.
Well, so we got some things we can do.
Sure.
And it's already on your list to do.
Anybody that wants to see a picture of what it looks like during normal rain, I've got it.
All right, we just need to schedule it, get it done.
I told them I'll be glad to meet them over there.
Okay. All right, we'll do that.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. We'll get to it. We just got a lot of work backed up. We're like the farmers. We've got work backed up. Everything needs done in the spring. It's been a wet spring. Anything else for the good of the order right now before we get to our agenda? Okay, we have no resolutions. We have several ordinances. First one is final reading of Ordinance 11-2019. Could I have a motion to read that, please?
So moved by title only.
Okay, a motion to read by title only by Councilman Sidebottom and a second by Councilwoman Decker. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Ordinance number 11-2019, an ordinance to rezone certain real estate on the east side of Washington near East National Highway, Business 50. Are any questions on that? Everybody know where we're talking about and what we're talking about? I have a motion. What you would like to do with this ordinance then? I'd like to approve it.
The ordinance be approved, Mayor.
Okay, motion by Councilman Chambers and a second by Councilman Sidebottom to pass the ordinance. Could we have a roll call vote, please, Kathy?
Councilman Brown?
Aye.
Councilman Dahl?
Aye.
Councilman Pendleton?
Aye.
Councilman Hampton?
Aye.
Councilwoman
Becker?
Aye.
Councilman Chambers? Yes. Councilman Sidebottom?
Aye.
Okay, I believe that was unanimous. That ordinance passes and will go into effect. Next is Ordinance 12-2019. Could I have a motion to read that one for second reading?
So moved by title only.
Councilman Dahl makes a motion. Councilman Brown seconds to read it by title only. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Tim?
Ordinance number 12-2019, an ordinance for additional appropriation from Community Crossings Matching Grant, CCMG Fund.
Okay, and that's a authorization to spend all the different pockets and pots of money for paving. Any questions on that? We talked about that in detail last meeting. I have a motion to approve that ordinance.
Then. Second.
Motion by Councilman Sidebottom, a second by Councilman Singleton. Can we have roll call vote on that, please?
Councilman Brown?
Aye.
Councilman Dahl?
Aye.
Councilman Singleton?
Aye.
Councilman
Hampton? Aye.
Councilwoman Decker?
Aye.
Councilman Chambers?
Yes.
Councilman Sidebottom?
Yes.
Okay. That motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, next is first reading on ordinance 13-2019. Could I have a motion to read it, please?
So moved.
Motion by Councilman Cybottom, second by Councilman Chambers. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Ordinance number 13-2019, an ordinance amending section 34.34 of the Washington Code of Ordinances, whereas section 34.34A in the Washington Code of Ordinances establishes a cash change fund for Water World of Washington in the amount of $200, and whereas the Common Council of the City of Washington has determined that said cash fund needs to be increased. Now therefore be it resolved that the Common Council of the City of Washington hereby amends section 34.34A in the Washington Code of Ordinances to read as follows. A cash change fund for the Water World of Washington in the amount of $200 for the cash drawer and $200 for the concession stand is hereby established. This amended ordinance shall take effect immediately upon passage by the Common Council of the City of Washington, be it ordained this blank day, blank 2019.
Excuse me, what this is about is back, I don't know, 10 years ago, I've been told they had $100 that they took in beginning cash, and they raised it to $200, and the manager of the pool has to apparently run to the bank several times a day, and or on the weekend run to the grocery stores to get change. So I've talked to Beth, and we'd like to offer to raise that to $400. That way they got enough change to make it through the day. Any questions on that? Seeing how it's the middle is going to be the middle of June, I would ask for you to entertain suspending the rules and pass this for second reading tonight.
The rules be suspended, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I have a motion by Councilman Chambers and a second by Councilman Brown to suspend the rules. All in favor? This takes a unanimous vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Motion carried. Let's see. Then I have to have a motion to 2/3 affirmative vote to pass it then, correctly?
Well, we have to read it again.
Okay. Have a motion, to read the second.
13-219 be read by title only.
Okay. Motion by Councilman Chambers, second by Councilman Brown for second reading. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Ordinance number 13-2019 and ordinance amending section 34.34 of the Washington Code of Ordinances.
Okay. And I would entertain a motion to approve this ordinance.
So moved.
So moved by Councilman Brown.
I just wanted a question.
Okay.
If we approve it, does it have to take a unanimous vote to approve it?
To approve it? No, 2/3, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. 2/3 vote.
Go ahead.
Okay. Did someone second that?
Yes, I will.
Okay,
well,
Councilman.
Is it going to be 400 or 200?
400.
It will be 400.
It's 200 and
200. 200 for the front desk and 200 for the concessions.
Concessions.
Okay. It's 200 right now.
All right, so total
200 for, yeah, yes. Total four, yes. Okay, that was a motion to approve that ordinance. Then could I have a roll call vote on it, please?
Councilman Brown?
Aye.
Councilman Dahl?
Aye.
Councilman Singleton?
Yes.
Councilman Campton?
Aye.
Councilman Decker?
Aye.
Councilman Chambers?
Yes.
Councilman Cybottom?
No.
Okay, that is 6-1, so that passes. Declare that ordinance passed and go into effect then. Thank you. Okay, ordinance 14-2019, first reading of that ordinance. I do have a motion to read that, please.
So moved.
What I would request, too, is that in the interest of time that we have Tim just read, there's three changes to that ordinance. Rather read the whole thing, we just read the changes. Is that okay with your motion?
Yes.
Okay, motion by Councilman Dahl. Did you second that, Jerry? Councilman Cybottom seconds. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Ordinance number 14-2019 and ordinance amending compensation ordinance number 13-2018 of the City of Washington, Indiana. Whereas the current compensation ordinance of the City of Washington, Indiana, namely ordinance number 13-2018, was passed August 27, 2018, and whereas it has become necessary to amend the positions of the city's utility office, be it ordained by the Common Council of the City of Washington, Indiana as follows. Section 1, that the non-taxing departments from utility funds of ordinance number 13-2018 shall be amended as follows. Non-taxing departments from utility funds, 1, collections, small claims clerk at an hourly wage of $17.95, and 1, collections supervisor at an hourly wage of $21.05, and then 1, utility clerk floater at an hourly wage of $17.95, 85% of that from the utilities budget, 7.5% from the mayor's budget, and 7.5% from CTO. Section 2, the Washington Code of Ordinances is hereby amended in conformity with the terms of this ordinance. Section 3, this ordinance shall become effective June 29, 2019. All other provisions of ordinance number 13-2018 shall remain the same and in effect. Passed by the Common Council of the City of Washington, Daviess County, Indiana, this blank day of blank 2019.
Anita, would you like to explain?
Brenda Mullen recently retired. She was the assistant utility office manager, and her pay was $22.04 per hour. So when Brenda retired, we have a supervisor at the downtown office and a supervisor at the east side office. So we don't feel like we need to replace and have another assistant manager. Instead of that, we would like to take the downtown supervisor, that would be the collections supervisor, from $18.75 up to $21.05, which is the same pay as the supervisor on the east side. So the two supervisors would pay the same. And then we used to have a collections clerk slash floater who was from downtown, and we would like to have the floater be based out of the east side office because we have more staff there. Whenever we take the floater from downtown, that leaves us kind of short. So, and then by moving that floater to the east side, then that would open up the small claims collections person to downtown. So, we're actually going to be paying out about $2 less per hour than what we were doing before, and the same number of employees.
Clear as mud?
Yep. Clear as mud.
Basically, realigning some of the duties, and really, in some of these, making their titles more specific to what they actually do. So, okay, that ordinance will be up for second reading and adoption at our next meeting. Okay. Okay. Next item of business is you have in front of you came in this afternoon an abatement request on Wallach Communities. Mr. Hall is here from Wallach. We've all heard the presentation on what they want to do on the east side for a 60-unit apartment complex. What questions do you have for Mr. Hall?
Mr. Hall, just the first one. On your application, on question number 7, attached completed statement of benefits, it's not here.
Which one are you looking at? Good. Yeah. Should be there. That's this page here, which is actually the SB1. Yes. The benefits being the employment and the payroll and the investment. Okay. On the with IHCDA, I had a question on the low income portion of the low and moderate income portion. You have to guarantee them for how many years? That
it would be 30.
30 years.
We would agree that affordability 30 or 30 years.
Okay, and that would be for the the 30% and the 50% AMI categories, is that right?
30, 50, 80.
All three. So how, your, the presentation you gave us the last time, and you put in there about the, that you are, a minimum of 25% of units are the 30%, the low income.
Correct.
Minimum 50% is moderate, and so it could be, those percentages can fluctuate? I mean, those are the minimum amounts, right?
So what IHCDA pushes us to be competitive with funding is they require us to restrict 25% of the units to rent to folks that make no more than 30% of AMI. And then another tranche of 25% for folks that make no more than 50% of AMI. And then the remaining piece of the split is at 80, max of 80%.
But those first two are minimum amounts. The whole 100%, all the whole property could be made up of those.
No, they're not really minimums. They're maximum amounts. So no one can make more than 30%.
No, I mean the number of units.
No, that's what we said it at. So, for example, we're talking 60 units. So I'm off a unit or two here. But, like, so, for example, 15 units will be set at 30% AMI.
No more or no less,
correct,
typically.
That might be off one or two. One, you know, 15 of 30. 15 at 50, and then remaining 30 will be maxed at 80.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. What other questions do you all have? Three of us met last week, as we directed by the council. We met with to discuss this. I don't know, do you have anything to add to the equation, or?
I thought we covered the ground already the other day.
Okay.
I mean, typically, we do abatements for something that's going to create a lot of jobs, and this is kind of new to us, at least to me, being on the council. I see where it's going to be too full time if the. Because I know you talked about maybe one and a half or something prior, but that was if...
No. So what we said is basically to keep the project sustainable over a 15-year period, the size of the project typically without relief in this instance, support in this instance, we may only be able to put folks there 8 hours a day, 3 or 4 days a week. What this would allow us to do is put their folks there 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday.
The abatement would do that?
Yeah.
Because first you talked about the pilot, which you said would do that.
Right.
But you're saying you would still manage that two full-time people if granted abatement.
Correct. I see them as a quote.
Okay.
So, Joe, on that first page, am I reading that right? You say if all that tax money goes to TIF fund, everything.
Yes.
But just for the 10 years, or how does that work?
As long as the TIF's in.
As long as the TIF district is in place.
All the money goes?
All but the land that's already being taxed.
Right. Right.
Until such time as either the TIF district goes out, which is a 25-year life on that, and it's already been there for 9 years. So at the end of that time, it would go into the... to all the overlapping districts and our general fund, or at some point the redevelopment, if those funds build up so large, the redevelopment commission can release assessed value and allow it to then flow through like any other tax dollars. Long answer to your question.
Well, that's curious.
Yeah. What I have put in, also in front of you are two. The one is the list of that we had presented to Mr. Hall at one point on, I guess, rather than abatement, the waiving of the upfront connection fees and so forth as one alternative. The other would be the abatement that they've asked for.
And again, that tax was simply your best guess, the $40,000.
When we talked the last time, we were talking potentially $40,000 in potential tax revenue that they would owe based on, because it is, was it Section 45? Is that what?
Section 42.
Anyways, 42. Anyways, because it's low income.
So, Mr. Mayor, real quick.
Yeah.
Since we spoke, we tightened up the thoughts and tried to, our best guesstimate, that $40,000 number, as we guessed today, would be probably 45.
Because when we discussed, I thought we were talking 32 the other day, if I'm not mistaken.
It's kind of, yeah, I think I started out, I kind of used some of his guesstimates from the beginning and estimated that, and then we talked 40, and yeah, and what you said, dropped off this afternoon is 45 back.
Right, so once we put the application in, we had to really get our thoughts lined up, and we did some crunching and looked at the assessor's site, things like that. We believe it'd be near 45, but again, that's just what the assessor would say.
But obviously, that's also based on NOI, right? Your operating income.
It's our experience that typically properties in this nature end up being assessed by NOI cap rate evaluation, not necessarily construction costs. Because the construction costs, that valuation becomes so high, nothing would ever get built for us. So we typically see assessors land on cap rate NOI.
And how soon would you get to that point? Because you're taking about 2 or 3 years to build.
So we would be marching towards that, I would say. So again, so 2020, in the fall 2020 we'd start, fall 2021 we hope we'd be completed, fall spring of 2022 we would be fully stabilized and in full. So we'll say have 9 months of operational money, our operational time in 2022. So our first full year that we would probably get to that would be 2023.
So that 16,000 minimum is at the end of the project. It's not when you break ground.
Remind me what the 16,000.
I've got a thing over here where it says taxes minimum 16,000, even on the tax abatement.
Yeah, what we had,
as an option.
As an option.
Oh, that's an option.
Yes. Okay. There are two options on abatement. One is a sliding standard scale. The other would be to at a minimum of 16,000, ratcheting up to the 40 or 45.
So you haven't even seen that?
He hasn't seen that because I just put that together this afternoon or this morning. But it would basically, instead of starting at 100, it would be 100% abatement, ratcheting up, but there'd be a minimum of 16,000. And then it would start ratcheting up in year six and go to 24, 28, and up to your 40, if that would be an option.
So just to clarify, so it's 100% abatement starting out day one. However, the 100% is really not 100, it's 16.
Correct.
Across. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
And that came from your original request of the 16,000, is where that scenario came.
So that'd be about 40%. Abatement.
The 16 would be 60% abatement.
60%. Would that allow you to structure your financing?
Minimum 16 for the first 6 years, 5 years.
5 years.
Five years, and then we. Okay. I'd have to take.
And then it would go up to, presuming you're, well, and this is based on $40,000, because that was what I had before when I put this together, so it'd be a little higher than that in the, I mean, this went to 36,000 in year 10, and then 40 in year 11. So the numbers would be a little bit different. Year 11 would be the 45, 10 would be a little bit, would be.
But your first 5 years would still be the same.
First 5 years would still be the 16,000.
Right. Yeah. So our original request would have kept it about, let's say, what, 16,000 for a 16-year period.
Correct. Yeah. I think it's fair to. I think we told you that, that we're probably not interested in doing that. Of course, that's up to this group. Sure.
question for you, I guess. Well, let me. say it this way. If you were here and I was out there and I come before this council and I say, I want to build 10 units, rental units, and not being subsidized, it's just 10. I'd like to have a tax abatement. What's going to be your response?
If I'm sitting there?
Yeah.
In all due respect to my Marbury friends, I would probably think long and hard about being able to really do that because they have no limits on what they can charge in rents. And the rental market's crazy nowadays. You can get quite a bit for rent. So I would say look at your numbers because I think you may be able to fully support the tax that are assessed. So that would probably be my response if I were sitting in your seat.
Yeah.
I would like to discuss with the council because I'm 55 against it, 45 for it. I can be swayed.
I'm on the fence too.
We've not done tax abatements for housing projects, although it is allowed now. And this is a case where it fills a need for the lower income housing, so you could justify it based on that. I don't know that I want to go any different than the normal 10-year sliding scale, just setting the precedent.
Just like Terre Haute, they just had this. And it was kicked. It went before the council, and they denied it because they didn't want to have...
To open up that can of worms.
They didn't want to open that can of worms because there's other people that want to build, too. So, I mean, I think we need to talk about it.
I'd be more inclined to do the minimum. I mean, you know, I know that starts year one, you're going to have to pay taxes, but I'd be more inclined to something like that. You know, based off of right now, that property's only getting $2,200 worth of taxes, so that's going to be more than what we're getting right now, than going and starting at zero. I mean,
that'd be the only way.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's, and you're saying you don't even know if that works, right?
I mean, I'd just like to know what you folks think is your best and final offer. And again, don't get me wrong, I appreciate any and everything you folks are considering. Don't get me wrong, right? And again, respect, I have not even heard these numbers yet. Right,
right, right.
So that makes it a little bit interesting. So again, for us, it's just we need to be able to bring this housing. It needs to be sustainable for the long term. We have restrictions on what we can charge. We can't go to market. What we've seen the product bring to the community is we bring rooftops. What's been most exciting for us and what we've done in Ohio is, I'll share this story again. A mayor a couple years ago said, we've got employers wanting to come here all day, but they tell me I have no rooftops. So what we did, we went there, we got 48 units, and it brought rooftops. So now he can market that, say, we're bringing housing, we have rooftops for your workers. So that really generates that. And again, it gives an option of low-income housing for folks that it may not be here. Or it's here and it's dilapidated, so we're bringing a better product to the table. It may be that makes the other landlords bring their product up to be able to compete with what we got, because we're going to fill up day one.
Yeah, I do see that as an indirect benefit.
Yeah.
You're kind of raising the bar of housing standards.
There's no question that we do need the housing.
Right.
I do know that, but just that spot.
And we do need to raise the bar, so to speak.
Yes.
And, you know, some of the houses, rental houses we have in this town are pretty pathetic. And so...
And what do we say? Do we want more information from Mr. Hall, or...
Question to you all. I mean, I'm going to say that I would not vote for a zero starting, but I mean, if we can find a number that.
Well, I understand it's not zero. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that.
And that's just my vote. Well, you have six other ones to vote on. I'm just saying from my standpoint,
right.
I just don't think I could. Two employees and then, you know, I know we need the housing. I'm not going to debate that at all.
And again, for a short period of time, it's a short period of time, but we will be bringing 70 construction jobs to the site for a 12-month period. It's helpful. It's not full-time, but...
Right.
And again, I think it is a great marketing catalyst for talking to employers that are coming into the communities, saying, hey, we're not stagnant on our housing. We've got these guys coming in. There could be more.
What I was going to say is, and again, this was based on 40,000, so it'd be a little different with 45, and I could run it pretty easily. But we'd be talking, if we did the 16,000 minimum, you'd be talking $220,000 potentially in tax revenue over the first 10 years. We'd be giving up, if you did 40, no abatement. I think that would be about 180 of the taxes that are abated.
Versus that we're not even getting them anyways right now, so.
Right.
I would kind of look at abatement that if you're not really giving up anything that you're not getting already.
No, but what, like I said, the problem I have was what Mike brought up, is the fact that a guy comes in, just let's say 5 units. Are we going to do it for that?
Well,
I mean, if this was all totally low income, I wouldn't argue so much. And I do know we need the upper also, but I keep mulling over my head. Like I said, I'm 55% against. I can be persuaded. The first thing, what Al said was about the no start to 16, if you did go that route, it also have to have a floor on that too. You have to go with these numbers, because I know you're saying it's $40,000, but you can't guarantee that. It could be $30,000.
So when we had our discussion,
you can tell me anything.
I can. We did sharpen our pencil.
Well, I know.
What you see is we originally I thought it was between 40 and 60.
Right.
We looked at it closer with the NOI we believe will generate, which is pretty predictable. And we put an 8 cap on it. So that's what we put, and that's what came up to 45. If you want to go with a cap, lower cap, you'll go up. I don't see the cap going higher, because you have a very risk-averse investment here, because there's such a need for it. So I think 45 would probably be the floor, because we're not projecting an Illinois decline. So I think it's going to be steady, and it'll probably be at that number. And again, but to your point, it's absolutely based upon what the assessor says.
How are those cap rates determined?
Well, cap rates is just really a measure of risk, right?
Right.
So if you're bringing a low-risk investment to the table, it's lower cap, higher risk, higher caps.
Sure.
And usually you're only going to get the low 3-4 cap rates on the coast. And the Midwest, you're going to see it between, typically, if it's unsubsidized like we have, we're not going to have any subsidy. We thought we might have a few, but we won't. You would see the cap rate, from what I've seen quite often, is it was going to be a low of 7 and probably a high of 8.5. And then you would even go lower than 7 if you're 100% subsidized. The reason that is because then there's really no risk, because someone else is paying the rent, right? So I would say, if you ask me what the range of the cap rate would be for our product in the Midwest, 7 to 8.5. And it's a brand new product. Again, there's a need for it. So it's going to be between the 7 and 8.5. And I think you'll see a lot of appraisers come out of the gate and say 8 because it's 8.
If you use 8 on a 200,000 NOI, you end up with about 50. Is that right?
Yeah, right. So that, yes. I think that's right.
What's your pleasure? You want to discuss it further? You want a motion tonight? You want to? What's your pleasure?
It's a tough one.
I'll make a motion that the application be denied.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay. Have a motion and a second to deny the request for abatement. Any further discussion? All. Yes, it was good. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passed unanimously? Okay. Thank you. I got the decision. Okay. Not the one you wanted, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, we have, this is also the time of the year that we renew tax abatement requests for annual compliance consideration. I think we just, do we have somebody here from Eagle Rail? Yes, there you are, okay. What's that? Okay. Could you please stand, state your name and your address, please, for the record?
My name is Kim Stone. I am full-time employee of Eagle Rail Car in Washington, Indiana. Our address is 1723 West Walnut Street.
Okay. And I think you all have in front of you, we have, there are two abatement continuing forms. One is on the personal property, one is on the real property. And are you familiar, you familiar with the numbers on here?
I have that.
Okay.
And I apologize if I can't get you exactly what you need. I'm pretty good at what's there and what we've done. But our new print manager, Harry, has thrown his back out.
Oh.
And he cannot be here today. So I can... Okay. Go through a lot of it with you because I've been there for a while and know where we are, and I do all of the hiring.
Okay. Tell us where your employment base is and your right now compared to where you started, like when we did this a year ago.
Well, the number retaining is 12. The additional was to be 88. We actually employ 130 employees right now, and we're growing. We have started a second shift as well, and that shift will continue to grow.
Great. Do you know what your annual payroll is now?
I don't. I can tell you that hourly rate, on a basic hourly rate, is 14 plus, depending, of course, on positions and certifications and that type of thing.
Okay.
The projection on here was, I think, 10 million manufacturers. We have 14 million in it.
Okay. That's gonna.
We have completed every aspect and exceeded every aspect within this last year.
Do you have a local accountant?
We do.
Who is it, if I may?
Amy Schlobaum. She is new to the company. The accountant that we had previously had left us, so we actually have two now. We have just hired two new accountants, local accountants. I think we have eight now corporate. Eagles also purchased 5 new rail yards.
Wow.
So,
since you bought this one?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's moving right. Yeah, we're just leaps and bounds.
Do you know if you have an outside auditing firm?
We have corporate. Unless it's an FRA, which is through the Federal Railroad Commission, that would come in. And we have customers do audit as well for compliance with the rail industry. That also come and do that.
I mean, I think all of us on the council that have been down through there can agree that you've done what you said you were going to do. I just look at some of these others that come through and, you know, how do we prove it? The proof is in the pudding when you go down and look at rail cars.
We're replacing rail.
I'm just saying if we wanted additional proof, would your company agree to submit, you know, an attorney's or an accountant's opinion that these in fact are correct?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see Mark Worrell.
I mean, I'm not saying now, but maybe in the future, and this is something that we need to talk about at the end of the meeting.
Okay.
Because we got three others that we're looking at,
mm-hmm.
and I've always been concerned about the proof.
Mm-hmm.
Not in your case, because I can see it with my own eyes.
Sure, I understand.
Okay.
Factuals are factuals.
Yeah.
But sure, if you would basically just detail that to me and just what you're needing, I'll be glad to do that.
I don't need it right now, and in fact, having said all that, I'll move that the compliance with benefits statement be approved in both instances.
Okay.
Both the real estate and the personal property.
Okay.
Second.
Second. Okay. A motion by Councilman Chambers and a second by Councilwoman Decker to approve these as being in compliance. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you for what
you're doing down there, because I've been down there, been very impressed with the buildings that you're putting up and the rail. It's quite impressive.
We've been in the new paint and glass.
Mm-hmm.
And the cover for the west end pit down mm-hmm. there, remember that down there? And then we were doing a new recycle pit in there, and those are completed.
Okay.
So
great. I'll come down. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Dean Harwood is here for Alliance Barrier Films and Great Eastern Acquisition Corporation. We have, we have two of each, I believe. Yes. Two on real property, which is their original manufacturing facility, and then their warehouse and their I guess the warehouse distribution center on the, on the east side. I think that's right, of your building. And then we have two, they have three lines operating now. The first one, that abatement ran out on that one last year. So that one's being fully taxed. And then these are ones that are still under abatement. So, Dean, you want to tell us what's going on in Alliance?
Yeah, last year when I came in and reported it, fully done snow. It's running to capacity. We have a total of 32 full-time employees. We have four temps. They're working their 90 days. Then they'll become full-time employees. Our annual salary is about $1.2 million. We're putting $5 million into plant this year. The new line has already been ordered. We should be seeing it in October. Second week of December is when we plan on starting construction of it. Should be finished by the end of January, 1st of February. That will bring 6 to 8 new employees to the plant. That's about all I've got. Got any other questions?
You said that fourth line will be functional when? February?
The end of January, 1st of February.
Back in 2013, Dean, do you know how many employees you had when this was started?
No, there in 2013.
Okay. Is this Carla Ford that signs it again? She's on staff there, or
no,
is she?
She's corporate.
Okay.
The new line that's going in, is that did you say $5 million? Is that on the building too, or is that just that line?
That's just for that line.
Just for that line, okay.
It'll be the last of the four lines in the plan.
Let's see, on the more recent line, which was put it started operation again about this time last year, wasn't it? 2018. They had projected 30 employees, and they've got 32 now, so they've met that at that goal, and their salary appear, salary projections appear to be exceeding their projections. Any questions for Dean on that? Blake, you have any questions for anyone? Have any questions? If you don't see any reason to not declare them in substantial compliance, I'll entertain a motion to approve these renewals. Okay, motion by Councilman Sidebottom and a second by Councilwoman Decker. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, thank you, Dean. And then, no one typically comes from Indiana Municipal Power, because there's not a whole lot to say about that. That's the solar field out here. No employees, no salaries on that one. But that's established pretty much by state statute as a, they are a quasi-state agency, but they do pay taxes. So,
Move their application for their compliance form be approved, Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion on theirs.
Second.
Councilman Chambers, and second by Councilwoman Decker. All in favor of approving that one, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. That's probably the highest and best use of that 20 acres that we had sitting there growing up in weeds and corn that we ever did, so. Okay, let's see. A few things, just miscellaneous items to let you all know about. We have been running radar. In the last meeting, we talked, had some feedback on some of the streets. The guys have been out busy. Trent gave me the reports on those. 27 particular reports when they've run radar at various times, and they've clocked 859 vehicles. 16 of which were stopped or ticketed or given written warnings for speeding. So, and those were pretty much all over the city. With Brett Cable, there was some on West Walnut, Cosby Road. But we're continuing those. We're also looking at purchasing a couple of those radar. You know, your speed is about $3,000 a piece.
Ones that go on the sign post?
Yes.
Really?
But these would be movable. These are movable.
Okay, then we're good.
Yeah. The recycling, I guess we're happy to announce we are once again accepting corrugated cardboard, at least for the time being. So, Mike, you told me you collect that, so we are accepting that. We are continuing to look at other options, different vendors, but we're still in the recycling business. Last meeting we had a conversation about trash collection. Brent and I met with Tim, and I think the consensus was before we change on what we want to do on trash and enforce anything, we probably need to rewrite that ordinance. Part of that thing was written back in the 70s, and we just need to update it. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if we're going to try to enforce it, we need to, for the ordinance to reflect the reality of what we're doing. And in many cases, it doesn't. So I just suggest a complete rewrite, and Brian and Brant and myself are going to get together and work on getting that done.
Do you have the old ordinance numbers?
It's not in front of 54, I think it is. Chapter, what is it? 51, okay.
Yeah, the whole chapter is going to be reread. Now, for one thing, it says we pick up grass clippings. We don't. I mean, it's one example of things that we just don't do. And so that, you know, we just need it to reflect the reality of what we actually do and don't do.
So stay tuned on that. And also, just another piece of old business, combined dispatch. This week we are meeting with the county group, to receive Baker Tilly's report that they're putting together, their recommendations. That is one day this week. I forget. Thursday, I think it is.
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Okay. Tomorrow? Okay, tomorrow then. Celebrate Washington downtown Saturday from 10 to 2. And believe it or not, we're starting on the budget for next year. In the next couple of weeks, I'll be starting to meet with all the various department heads. And I believe you got a memo about July 15th for the council's workshop. Will that work for all of you? That's Monday in between.
We still need to reply on that thing, Rudy.
If you just all tell me that that works, and...
It works.
That works.
The 15th of July.
Yeah, 15th of July.
For me.
That won't work for you?
No. They're gonna haul me out of the river.
We can all go with you.
Yeah.
Meet up there, yeah.
You don't think that vote? Budget retreat.
There we go.
I'll be in Oregon.
That's fine.
I was in Oregon last year. You guys did fine.
Well, we'll have a majority of everyone there then on the 15th, so. Okay. And that's all I have. Jerry, you have anything for the good of the order?
I do. I do. I think it's part of being Jerry's. But, I was going out to the river the other day. I had to take some medicine. I seen your guys' vehicles out there, Brian. And I was just wanting to know what they were doing out there. I got pictures.
Well, sometimes that's where we take some of our rock and debris. I don't know if that's what they were doing, but we do have a place along the river where we, one of the guys along there, we
what
take.
What's that address for that, Jerry?
It was the ton truck with the skid steer loader and the dump truck. It was right there by the levee. Right at the river. Maybe they were dumping concrete. I don't know.
Yeah, that would have been the only thing doing
the
sidewalk from that concrete.
So, yeah, do we have another outlet for that
concrete?
Yeah.
What's... Okay. I'll talk to you later about it.
Okay.
Thank you. That's all I have.
All right.
I have nothing.
Blake?
No.
Alan?
I'm good.
Tim, do you have any?
No, I don't.
Fun? I do not.
Okay, Sierra?
Mm-hmm. Just two quick things. I'm really glad that we're starting to take the corrugated cardboard. It was just breaking my heart that I had to put that out in the trash every Monday morning. And two, Joe, I am truly sorry about the vote tonight. I'm still hoping that your company can come up with some way to do the project. Thank you.
Anyone else have anything for the good of the order? Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
I live out by the park.
Yes.
And the gnats are horrible.
Well, they're not down the west end.
They're certainly down there.
When one of those pop my road in my yard, yeah.
We started spraying for mosquitoes. I'll let Brian address that. Gnats are a bit of a different problem besides mosquitoes, but... When you fog, it's to kill flying insects, and we can do that at night for mosquitoes. Gnats are a whole other
problem.
That's
not the reason you gave me last year, but I'll accept that reason. Well, you told me they'd hang you if you sprayed at noon. And I said, no, they'd make you president if you got rid of the gnats.
You come spray my house at noon.
Slow them down.
I didn't care about the bees, but I don't see very many of them.
Anything else? Now I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Being adjourned, our Board of Public Works in 5 or 10 minutes.
Everybody needs to sign. Everybody needs to sign.
Yes, we have a lot of things to sign.
Everybody needs to sign.